Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Daniel Clark Network Radio, the show. Daniel Clark and the Marsha Jones Show here live once again. Another Sunday. Yeah, I want to know how everybody's doing out there this evening. Another beautiful, beautiful Sunday, and we're getting ready to kick this show on the road. As usual, my special guest, Mr. Marsha Jones, Mr. Wilbur Geis, National Coalition of Minority Businesses. And as always, if you want to talk to us, you can call us. Give us a call, 646-478-4995. Let's take it back a little bit.
Working on the chain, gang.
All day long they say it's
Yeah, Daniel Clark Network Radio. Yeah. Little Red Rooster. Let me see if I can get my guests on the line. Here's my co-host, Marsha Jones.
I got a little red rooster. Too lazy to crow for days. I got a little red rooster. Too lazy to crow for days. He keeps everything in the barnyard upset in every way. The dogs begin to bark. The hounds begin to howl. The dogs begin to bark. The hounds begin to howl. Watch out all you kinfolk. My little red rooster's on the prowl.
Hello.
Yo, Mr. Jones.
Daniel, how are you?
Man, awesome, awesome. How about yourself?
Awesome, awesome. Beautiful day here in Ohio.
Man,
I'm getting ready to enter this blues concert. Are we on the air?
Oh, yes, we are on the air.
All right, great.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give a shout-out to you and let the audience know what you're about. And if anybody out there who are interested in cleaning up the neighborhood, getting these kids' minds straightened out and something active in the black community, Daniel Clark is the man. I support him wholeheartedly. And I'm going to be with him on the next radio shows. I'm at a concert now. I probably won't be productive today because there's going to be a lot of noise on this line in a few minutes.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you, man. You know, we appreciate you. You're allowing us to do some promotion with the Save Our Children, Why Incarcerate, Educate. And we truly appreciate that, and we want to encourage other artists to do the same. We are, I would say, about 30 days away from actually training people. So
that's great. I hope we can promote some concerts to raise some funds to start educating these kids. Not so much educate them to degrees, but give them training in fields of their depth.
Right. I'm bringing Mr. Geis on the line, so if you hear the phone ringing there, he should pick up very shortly.
Okay.
Hello.
Well, Mr. Geis, Daniel Clark Network Radio, and on the line, Mr. Marshall Jones. How are you doing today?
Doing wonderful. How are you, Marshall?
Oh, I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing great, doing great.
That's great, that's great.
Yeah, so Marsha was, giving us some shouts. He's on his way to some concerts, and he was just expressing to the audience, that we got the metal to the pedal and we're moving fast. I sent everybody a text and we're shifting into second gear on the Saving Our Children and Why Incarcerate, Educate, and I was speaking with him saying that looked like we may be able to start training in 30 days. So we're going to be putting this thing out here hard, trying to get people to join us and help us in this great venture, getting into our communities. And as Marshall say, our most precious commodity, our kids, and we're going
our
to...
Our children.
Our children, we're going to do everything that we can in order to make that happen. So, Mr. Geis, how are you doing today?
Hey, Paul.
Well, I'm doing absolutely wonderful.
Now I want to let Mr. Jones talk a little bit more, and he's on his way to a concert, and we're going to take it from there.
Okay.
You're going to have a concert downtown.
Yeah, I see he's in the background getting ready there. Mr. Jones?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we just want you to go ahead and say a few more things to the audience, and we'll let you go ahead and get to that concert, man. And I'm tempting to call you down there live, let the people know where you're at.
Oh, that'd be great, man, but I don't know if you'd be there. It'd be very audible, but feel free to call me anytime.
Yeah,
Daniel, because I'm a firm believer in what you're trying to do, and I support you wholeheartedly. But here in Dayton, it's a beautiful day here, and they're having an outside blues concert.
Right.
And I have to go down and support a few friends down there.
Okay.
And have a good time. But I want the audience to realize that, you know, just what you really have put together, you know, for people who, for lack of a better word, want to educate these kids. Because it's pretty obvious they're not getting the proper education in the school system, because you can see the results is zero. So it's time for us to start taking control and start educating our own.
Absolutely.
At least in the initial stage. So I compliment you wholeheartedly, sir.
Hey,
and I will be supporting this station as much as I can.
Absolutely, man. Well, we appreciate you taking time out and coming on today, man. Go ahead and enjoy yourself at that concept. Send our love out to all the brothers and sisters out there in Dayton, Ohio. And next week, we're going to format this thing so that we're going to be talking about the education program and doing the promotion and everything, and we want you to kick that out off there in Dayton so that we can get everybody involved in purchasing these T-shirts and, you know, bringing this money back to the organization where we can continue to do what we do.
I'm firmly believing in what you're trying to do. And anything I can do to offer my support, you got it, sir.
All right, my brother. Have a good one.
All righty. Thank you, sir. Bye.
All right. Take care. Hey, we're going to key up a little bit of Marvin Gaye here. And let's see here. I got my thing there. Little Mercy, Mercy. All right. Yeah, but the guys will be right with you.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be, oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me, please. All things and what they used to be, radiation underground and in the animals and birds who live nearby by the night. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more be used from man? Can't you stand?
Yeah, Marvin Gaye, mercy, mercy me. Mr. Geis, what's happening today, my brother?
Well, you know, I'm extremely excited based off of some of the things that we have going on and some of the conversations that you and I have participated in terms of you know, creating opportunities within our community for veterans to be able to, as well as some of the youth to be able to, let's just say, pull themselves up from the bootstraps. We can see all the material coming together, the classes that are coming, and it's just a great opportunity and pleasure to be a part of such an exciting event, if you will, activity that's coming together to save the children and also be of assistance to our veteran brothers and sisters.
Yeah, absolutely. And today we're going to kind of celebrate, you know. We talk a lot about the program, and I'd just like to, for all our listening audience, if you want to call in, that number is 646-478-4995. But what we're going to do today, we're going to listen to some music and have these conversations back and forth, and I'm going to bring a few new people on the line that have been kind of supporting us in the background here, because, you know, we as a race have a lot of talent. So I have a gentleman that I was blessed to grow up with, this brother, so we're going to bring him on the line if he's available, and let him just talk about his venture and how he's working in the background to support Daniel Clark Network Radio along with the National Coalition of Minority Businesses. So while we're doing that, let me do it this way. I think that this would be appropriate. Mr. Geis, hold on.
You are there.
Daniel Clark Network Radio. Hello.
Hi, this is Henrietta. Hi, guys. I'm here.
Hey, Miss Henrietta. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are all of you?
Oh, just fine. We're going to let this song play out here. We're mixing a little music along with these conversations now. So just hang on in there with us, okay?
Okay.
Yes, sir. I remember that song. I guess I just aged myself, right?
What about you, Ms. Carr? Hello?
I kind of don't.
You kind of
don't. Sorry.
You kind of don't. Yeah, Curtis Mayfield, right on. Right on for the darkness, you know. That was
okay.
That era when we were really, really... I think we was really thinking about, you know, the community and, you know, doing things in the community and just enlightening people with some of the struggles that we faced back and forth and trying to be successful in this United States of America. So, Mr. Geis, you want to just jump in here and kind of get us up to speed?
Well, about all the exciting things we have going on as far as the board thing, negotiations having taken place as regarding the materials, supplies that are going to be needed for the people that are going through the training. That's a major accomplishment. So you might say that the bullet is in the chamber and ready to shoot.
Oh yes, oh yes. We are definitely ready to see some gunpowder. And Ms. Carr, you have some exciting news to bring to us today, don't you?
Yes, I do. I've kind of got someone to build the website, to revamp the website, so it'll be user friendly for us. Probably get that done sometime the first of next week. And I've also recruited a young lady to put her sewing pieces on the website. She actually sewed with one of the African girls that was the runner-up on Project Runway. So
cool.
I'm excited about that because she and I will be doing quite a bit of business together. So that's my story for this week. I still think it's fantastic what's coming about and what's happening. I want to contribute all that I can because we are losing our children to the streets, to gun violence, to drugs. So wherever I can get in and fit in, it's wonderful.
Oh, and we are truly glad to have you. I mean, it's you can really tell who is who's fooling who. One of the songs say, because I mean, when you's about it, you're about it, you know. And in order to make it happen, you got to do something. I mean, you can't. We talked for a long time, and now we have gotten to the point that we are putting things in action, and it is becoming visible, where individual can see that all of those conversations that we've had on this radio station, that in the background, we're actually doing some things to make this happen. Mr. Geis, you and I, we've been having conversations throughout the week, and let me just give everybody a little summary. Right now, Daniel Clark Network Radio in conjunction, the Entertainers Playground in conjunction with the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, which is Mr. Geis is the director of, guiding us to We're Saving Our Children. And right now we have T-shirts that have been designed, and they will be out on the 25th of this month. We will have those T-shirts available. You can order them straight offline. You can go to the website, DanielClarkNetworkRadio.net, and order that T-shirt. And a percentage from that T-shirt will go directly back into the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, which is funding We're Saving Our Children program and the Training Academy. Now, the first course that we are focusing on is structured cabling, and this is where an individual, and Ms. Carr, you've seen a copy of the training board. Mr. Geis, you've seen a copy of it, and I haven't put it out to the public yet, but it will be soon. But starting this week, we will start doing the fundraising campaign to raise monies. We have one of these labs is completed, and that particular lab will accommodate two individuals. But each one of those boards that you see with the tools and the material average around $250. So in order for us to do this comfortably, we need 5 boards for 10 students, 20 for 20 students. We need 10 boards. We should next week sign the contract for the place in order to do the training. And also, we're working on signing a contract for our first Veterans Hand Dance Association dance as another method of raising monies to buy these labs, the materials that we need in order to train and to fund the training. So I'm really happy that we were blessed with the opportunity to move forward with that. And we're going to keep it moving. I've approached a couple of more artists that we may have a couple of more artists coming in to allow us to design T-shirts with their photos on it. And any professional person that's interested in allowing us to do that as a means of fundraising, they can give us a call, 646-478-4995 while we're on the air. Or they can give me a call directly. That's Daniel Clark at 301-257-6926. Next week, we're going to be hitting public broadcast stations, radio, television, and all your social media. We need to get individuals involved and put in their money where their mouth at. So for all of our nonprofit organizations, for all of our churches, and for all of the organizations that's receiving monies from the federal, state, and local government to train individuals, I believe, and Will, I showed you that process this morning, I believe that we have an opportunity not only to train individuals, but also to give them a job.
Absolutely.
And Will, I'll let you elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, I think we first mentioned it last Sunday, is that we are going to be engaging in government contracting as well as working with other organizations in the area starting out in of fiber optics. So what we'll be doing is we'll be in a position after an individual has gone through the school and been trained, we will be in a position not only to help them become somewhat entrepreneurs, but also in some cases be able to direct them to jobs that we're doing and hire them to execute on that. Of course, fiber optics is big here in the United States. There's a lot of work to be done here. But, of course, the whole entire planet is expanding in the sense of becoming upgraded. And so the market, we believe, is substantial enough to sustain for a considerable period of time. So we're looking forward to not only creating opportunities for others through training and having them be entrepreneurs, but also to hire some people.
Right, right. And to push that a little bit further, you know, there's a lot of undeveloped countries that does not have that infrastructure.
That's right.
So, you know, that's a wide open market there once we get some individuals trained to support that kind of tasks. So we won't just look here in the United States, but we'll look all over the world because fiber optic is, it is replacing your coax cable or your copper cable. Reason being is that it is friendly in terms of signal strength and also in terms of maintenance as well as the upkeep. So everyone now is moving to fiber optic, and all of your government installations, I believe all of your regional cities right now already have what they call a fiber optic ring. And now they're hitting all of the small cities throughout the United States. So whenever you're riding around and you see that black wire coiled up beside a pole, that is your fiber optic coming into the neighborhood. And that's what we do.
The really great thing about that is that people talk about jobs and that they're not being jobs and the unemployment rate is high as it is. What you have is a situation where these are U.S. jobs. This isn't a job where somebody's going to sit on the telephone in China or India or any place else and be able to lay the cable. These are jobs right here, right at home.
Right.
So, you know, this is something that people who are considering supporting our efforts here and people who want to participate in terms of learn a trade to take into consideration is that these jobs aren't going to be shipped overseas because the fiber optics are being laid here.
Correct.
And as it expands internationally, they will be positioning themselves to be able to, if they so desire, go internationally and lay cable. When I lived in the country of Antigua, they actually had an individual, because they were, let's just say, not as advanced in air plumbing, they had an individual come from the U.S. They allowed him to work there, and he was basically teaching them things involving how to engage in better plumbing practices. And
right.
So, you know, that's going to be very similar to what's going to be happening in other countries once individuals have learned and gained some experience and know what to do.
Awesome, awesome. Now, Ms. Carr, in your line, I understand that you do have a line of fashions that's coming out, and you want to once again tell the audience what they can look forward to?
I'm bringing in, for the men, bow ties. I'm just bringing the bow ties. They can go on and order a vest to match. The bow tie should be on site in just a couple weeks. There will be a bow tie and a vest, matching vest, as a sample. But then you'll be able to order your vest to go with your bow tie. And that's in case you just want the bow ties, you can just order the bow ties or just the vest or the combination. They should be out in a couple weeks and on the website.
Cool.
I'm also bringing in the African baby slings that is very popular right now. It's the slings that the women wear and put the baby inside of, and it's totally a fabric. They are very popular now, and they are coming in African colors. With the African fabric, it's a very good quality fabric. They are made very well to hold your baby. So I have a few ideas, and I'm going to test them out with you guys.
Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, and we're going to put more emphasis on next week. Now, this campaign that's going to start next week, Ms. Carr, the T-shirts will be available, and we want everyone to have one personally so they can start the campaign in each city. And I'm going to get Mr. Jones from the Ohio Players to work Dayton, Ohio. I've got Richmond. Will's got Washington, D.C. You've got North Carolina.
Okay, I'm ordering 5 T-shirts.
Okay, cool.
So as soon as they hit, I'll be getting my T-shirt.
Right, okay, cool. And then I'm going to reach out to my partners there in Atlanta and New Orleans. So those are going to be our fan base right now. And this is where the promotion, and I'm going to ask Ms. Carr for you to find out who your public broadcast stations are there, both radio and television. And I do believe that in your city there should be several public broadcast station that is sponsored by whoever your cable company is, and that we can do advertisement for this program.
Okay.
Well, one of the things on the PSA is that pretty much every station has to set aside a little bit of time for PSA.
Absolutely.
And so you'll be able to reach the broader market through the public, the PSAs.
Right. Absolutely. And, Will, you know, during the time that I was in Washington, D.C., there were several, I was on the television there and radio stations on several occasions to discuss and talk about this program. So we may have you two. I'll reach out and see who we can contact and see if I can get a schedule for you to go in and do this thing. And I'll do the same thing here in Richmond. And Ms. Carr, we're going to turn you into an MC.
Uh-huh. Okay, we're going to talk about that off the air.
we're gonna turn you into an MC, you know, and you might have the opportunity to do this, or we may be able to do it remotely from the radio stations. But as I said, it's time to kick this thing into second gear. We have spent a lot of time talking. And now it is time to actually show individuals what all of this talk has been about. And while I'm on that subject, Will, I believe we also discussed how this program may be duplicated in different cities. And Mr. Jones was just on, and one of the key things that he said is, hey, look, you know, I'll be glad when we can start doing some concerts to support this effort. And I'm in the process of putting together the first Veterans Hand Dance Association Black Tie Fair.
Those bow ties, Ms. Carhead, will come in very handy, I'm sure, at the Black Tie Fair.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, it would definitely come in, and the vests, because this is what we're promoting. Each time they purchase one of those bow ties or the vest, then a percentage of it goes back into the organization in order to do what? In order to train veterans and to work with our youth. So that is helping each other to succeed in this endeavor.
Daniel?
Yes.
I come from a small town, Rose Hill, North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of drugs and gun violence there, but we also have a parade every year. I would like to promote this through the parade that we have every year. By getting enough T-shirts that if people wanted to buy the T-shirt, raising the awareness of our program in that neighborhood, letting them know that someone cares. And that's what I'd like to do. There are several motorcycle groups. I would like to be able to get them the T-shirts also. And as many people as we can get wearing those T-shirts and raising the awareness that there are programs out there, it gives those kids an option no matter what part of the country you're in.
Right,
so
right.
At that point, at some point we may be able to offer, if it's not in our neighborhood, some neighborhood where we could sponsor a child in our home, at least in my home, that if we could get that program going here,
mm-hmm.
that I could sponsor a child that was outside of the area that we offered the training in.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, and one of the other things that you probably can also start, and I'm going to talk with Mr. Geis about this as well, we have the initial concept right now. I mean, we've gone to the portion of talking. We have the books, not all the books, but we have some books. We have a supportive mechanism as well as the actual lab. Now, we're starting out with premise wiring, and we will touch on fiber optic, but to train in fiber optic, you increasing the cost of that lab probably by 2 times. So it may cost you $500 to train an individual in fiber optic versus the $250 that we are doing now. So to start somewhere, I want to start with the structured cabling because at this point of the program, we can afford to do that. But as we get other organizations involved and as other organizations can see the concept and how this is going to assist us in our community, how this is going to train some of our individuals that have been incarcerated and can't get a job, they will no longer have to go through these clearances such as the public safety clearance, which I think is very stupid. And then all of your top secret or interim type clearances and everything, but they will be able to utilize this as a entrepreneurship where when they get this training, they can go to work as an independent contractor. So that eliminates having to say, well, I'm not going to apply for this position because I have something in my background that's not going to allow me to do this. The program that we are offering, hey, you become good and successful in this, you go to work. Now, once you go to work and the things that we've talked about, and Mr. Geis and I discussed it today, we're not going to set people up to fail. So the individuals that's going to be involved and accepted for these courses, they will have to have some things because there's no need to take this course and become an independent contractor if you don't have a car. You can't get to the job. That's one. And then also you got to have a computer and a smartphone. Because a lot of times with these jobs, we are, our clients see the work through work orders and things of that nature, photos and things of that nature.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I want to say regarding the veterans, there are many organizations out there, out here, who will assist a veteran in getting a car. And depending upon what their status is in some cases, and in other cases just being a veteran, they'll assist them and get a car. So I just want to throw that out there so that the veteran doesn't talk himself out of moving forward on something because of his limitations. Oftentimes we don't have to tell people no. They tell themselves no long before anybody has an opportunity to say yes.
Right.
So I just want them to think in the yes mindset is put your foot forward, move, take action to do something to help yourself, and allow the things that you need to come into place, so that this is what the success is all about. You've got to put in the bid for the job, not knowing whether you're going to get the job. But you put forth your best effort to get the job as far as putting the bid in. And that's the mentality that I'd like people to think in is that, okay, I'm going to take this step forward and see what doors open up to make it possible for me to succeed in the direction in which I'm moving.
Right, right, right. And I've got a great feeling that if we're able to achieve, and I give you an example, at one point in my life, I was able to supply through a contractor 18 to 25 individuals in running or installing and terminating cable wires. And this was for the Defense Department, and we've done work for FEMA. And the way that I met Mrs. Carr is doing work you know, on her establishment. And I don't know if she wants to disclose that, but and I'll give her the opportunity.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, I was a contractor to do some work at the Social Security Administration, so that's how we met. So there is opportunities for individuals to become successful once they go through this training course. But once again, we go back to this thing that you must be mentally, physically, emotionally prepared. So the education is not going to do any good if you don't know how to walk, talk, look, act, and present yourself.
Right, right. Meaning pull up your britches if they're down, because you're going to be in a place of business where they don't need to see your butt.
Right, right. And then the cool thing about that is that that is your business. I mean, that's
right.
Not Mr. John's or Mr. Paul, or it's not Domino's, it's not McDonald's. It belongs to you. And see,
right.
Another thing, we'll, along with the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, which as it began to position itself, it should have all of the different things as we, you know, looked at this morning. We was looking at business plans, was looking at 8A certifications, article incorporations, and the one that I have a problem with, the resolutions. How do you explain that?
Well, most people, and I fell into that category as well. Most people, when they set up a C corp, which is primarily when you need to keep your minutes of the meeting, or when you're a nonprofit organization, 501c4 or 501c3, you need to have board meetings, and also issue resolutions on those board meetings for someone specific in that board meeting or the company, an individual executes for things. And that's where your resolutions come out as a result of what you said in the meeting and how it was voted on. And comes forward a resolution that can be used as a public document to go into a bank and open up a bank account to present to different government agencies and or anyone who would be a stakeholder that would need to have that information presented to them. It pretty much helps you manage your documents, because corporations, C corps, are companies of record. And so if you haven't given yourself permission to do something in a board meeting, then basically you're just functioning like a corporation, but you aren't really a corporation. And that will be some training we'll probably need to extend on to a lot of people in our community as well, who determine that they are going to set up C corps. A lot of people today are just setting up LLCs, and you don't have the board member issue in terms of minutes of meetings and resolutions coming out of that. That's not an issue for that. And other entities like general partnerships and limited partnerships and sole proprietorships, you don't have that issue. But if you're going to protect yourself with a corporation, you would need to definitely keep minutes and issue resolutions out of those meetings to give yourself certain authority, so it's just properly running a business.
Right, and also something else that the National Coalition of Minority Businesses' mission is that to show people how, you know, when you live in a hub zone, how to take advantage of that hub zone certification. Then we got the woman-owned business, and within that woman-owned business, you've got the a small local disadvantaged business. You got the DBA disadvantaged business. Then with your military businesses, but in conjunction to that, you have like the 8A certification, the GSA certification. You've got the MDOT, Metropolitan Department of Transportation. You've got Mentor Prodigies programs. You've got apprenticeship programs. You have all of these programs out here, and that should be the mission of the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, is when an individual call in that they would be able to get the information and the guidance in order to set up and establish that business from the time that you think of the name of the business to your federal tax ID number to incorporating, and then from incorporating to putting together your article of incorporations and then working toward constructing a business plan.
Sure. Not, you left out one category of group. I think it's important that that they understand there's definitely a lot on the table for them, and that's the disabled. I was actually looking at in the state of Maryland where they have a program to assist disabled people in getting transportation or getting their transportation suited so that they can actually get a vehicle. But we did mention these people will have to need vehicles. And so
right.
That's why it's important for a person to not say no to themselves, because there are situations that they can be found in that they can bridge whatever their limitation is, if it's a vehicle or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So that is the National Coalition of Minority Businesses. So we're going to look at, and different people, they ask different things. Matter of fact, Ms. Carr, I think you asked me other day, or you may not have, but there's so many different things that's here that when someone go to the radio station, they see Daniel Clark Network Radio, the Entertainers Playground. Well, the Entertainers Playground is supposed to be the fundraising tool.
Okay.
What that is supposed to do, it is supposed to connect with all of our, I like to say Southern school, old school, our adult brothers that was out here during the time that the riots in Vietnam and all the things where we somewhat had some unity in our community, and somewhere we lost that, but the National Coalition is to bring these brothers together and these sisters together to assist us in raising monies to put into the National Coalition of Minority Businesses. So when you look at the Daniel Clark Network Radio, the Entertainers Playground, and then you look at the fashion store, the bookstore, the music store, art store, antique store, all of those are supposed to be means of raising funds to support the National Coalition of Minority Businesses to do the training.
Okay.
And one other thing that I want to emphasize is that right now we're only talking about structured cabling, but imagine this. Imagine, as Marshall said, he'd be glad when we can start doing concerts. But imagine that we're doing concerts all over the United States and people are coming out to support us, and we're able to put those funds back into the National Coalition of Minority Businesses to fund not just the structured cabling, but the electrical. Now, when we train a guy to be an electrician, there is no reason for him not to be able to have a job.
True.
I mean, carpet, wood flooring, there's no reason for you not to be able to have a job. Because you are your own individual, you own that business. If you market, advertise, promote, and do good work, guess what? Somebody going to give you another name. And before you know it, you may have to go out and hire a couple of people to help you if you learn the business.
As a trainer said the other day, he said his father told him that every job that he works on is an advertisement for the next job.
Absolutely.
That is correct.
Absolutely. And so as we continue to move forward, I mean, I'm focusing on the structured cabling now. Are we going to touch on fiber optic? And as we continue to bring in more funds, then we will actually do the fiber optic, and I'm hoping that that can happen in the next couple of months. Then we're going to start with the electrical, and we're going to continue. And my fan base here in Richmond, you know, we're going to get this set up, but you'll be heading up that division there in Washington, D.C. And I know several people up there in that area right now that is certified and able to train people in that area. So once we get this thing going like it should go, then I'm going to introduce you to those individuals, and then you can start looking for some places that you can hold these classes, and we can start that process there. The same thing with Ms. Carr down in the – is it Goldsboro or Greensboro?
It is Greensboro.
Okay. I don't know why I love to put Greensboro
Everybody
and Goldsboro.
Does that. Yeah. Everyone does that.
You out on the west part of Carolinas?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah. So the same thing there in Greensboro. You know, she can start looking for a place there that we can train individuals, and we can get, if not able to hire an instructor, we can set up those courses down there and go there and administer the training there.
Okay.
Same thing with Atlanta. Same thing with New Orleans. And, I mean, New Orleans, we can have a big convention down there, train hundreds of people. Because my man have the land and the facilities for us to do that. But the main focus is that we got to start somewhere, and we have started, so we're here. And with that said, Ms. Carr, hang on in there. I'm going to give you guys another quiz here. We're going to put another song on here. And for any of the audience that want to call in, you want to join us, Daniel Clark Network Radio, 646-478-4995. I want to give a shout out to DJ Foxy Lady, also to our other co-host, Pepper. And we've already talked with Mr. Marshall Jones from the Ohio Players. And our brother, he has really got his heart into this program, and we want to thank him for his support. And Ms. Carr, he said he's looking for that bow tie. What did he say, with the dots on it?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen. Yep. In the city, Daniel Clark Network Radio, Marvin Gaye.
Sky high, send that boy off.
You're listening to Daniel Clark Network Radio, the Entertainer's Playground, with my guest, Mr. Wilbur Geist, the National Coalition of Minority Business, and also Mrs. Henrietta Carr of Carr's Creation Fashion Designs, which is basically the director for our fashion store. So, Ms. Carr, who was that?
Of course, that was Marvin Gaye.
Oh, okay.
Now, don't get me wrong. I know Curtis Mayfield.
Wait, so you know Curtis Mayfield?
I know him. I just did not recognize that one song.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But that was Marvin Gaye.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Inner City Blues, you know, it is really something that it appears that this brother could see what we're going through even at that time. With that Inner City Blues, What's Going On, and Mercy, Mercy Me. Those three songs right there, and if I played them all three together, you would be able to look around in our communities right now, and you would see that that brother had a vision of this destruction even at that time. Mr. Geist, what you say about that?
Well, that's why one of the things that attracts me to what it is that we have going on here is that the entertainers have been, over the years, not only visionary, but they've had a powerful influence and impact upon the community. And that's a fortunate thing, but the unfortunate reality is the entertainers today that are not coming with a positive message, they're also having a powerful impact upon the community as well. It's in the words. It's in the words. The scriptures say, call things that be not as though they were. And as entertainers sing whatever songs they sing, they are manifesting and calling things that be not as though they were, in the sense of bringing about either uplifting of the community, as James Brown did with Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, or tearing down the community with words that I've heard people walking down the street recently saying that I can't repeat on the radio or anywhere else. You know, visionary, there's been a lot of definite visionary artists, and in part they're visionary because they're creating as they sing.
Yes, absolutely. And I got to tell you, we have a lot of talent in our community that is untapped. It's just like these oil wells that they are trying to run through our communities now, fracking or cracking or whatever they call it. But we have a lot of untapped talent in our communities that nobody pays attention to, or resources, you know. I always say, and I've said this to a bunch of brothers during one of our contracts, and if you ask 20 people today that have a job, that go to that job every day, and if you ask the question, if you had the opportunity to do whatever it is that you would like to do, would this job be it? And 95% of them would say, no. I'm doing this because I have to make a living. So then when you find that individual that is doing something that they like and making a living with that, then that's an awesome feeling.
Well, you know, on the job front, the work world that I have seen from this end here in the Washington metropolitan area, when we talk about an individual being able to go through training and become an independent contractor, I found jobs that used to be jobs where you could earn a wage and maybe some bonuses or commissions, a lot of those jobs have become jobs where you're straight commission. And so you're in a situation today that if you have a job, you may be in a situation where your ability to earn or to earn money on that job is completely based off of your ability to perform.
Right.
And so the jobs that they used to have when I was coming along, which was the jobs where someone could start work and may be hopeful that they could go there and keep that job for the next 30 years until they get to retire. First of all, in my view, that was a falsehood, and we're finding that it was a falsehood today because a lot of those companies are no longer in business, or that they're trying to wiggle out of their retirement obligations to their past workers. But at the same time, again, if you're going to work today, it's because you put you made some bow ties and some vests and you put it on a website and sold them. Oftentimes, or because you can perform very well at whatever it is that you do, because a lot of the people that I know are on straight commissions on their jobs.
Well, this is Ms. Carr. I do work for the federal government.
No, I know that. I know that. Believe it or not,
we have the same problems inside the government that everybody have out here. We do have a secure job. If we work, if we are favored, I've been with them 26 years, and I've had to fight for every promotion that I got. Even though I was an excellent worker, they admit that, but because I'm a black female, then I wasn't afforded the same opportunities as the white female or the white male. It was harder for me. Right now I'm doing a job with the government that pays my bills. I'm positioning myself to do the job that will more than pay my bills and a job that I love and I think I was born to do. So you have a lot of people out there that have skills and talents that they were born with, but unless they reposition themselves, they will never have the opportunity to earn a living with it. And that's where we come in to help them dream, because nothing was ever achieved without a dream. And once they have that dream in them, then they can begin to position themselves to make that come into fruition, which is what I'm in the process of doing right now, and it's very hard. But it is doable.
Right. And I see that we want to train people to maximize their potential, and we want everybody, every black man and woman, thinking about owning your own business, but we want to train them to, instead of going to Walmart for that bow tie, go to Ms. Carr for that vest, for that gown, for that scarf. You see, because what's going to happen with that is that we're going to pour enough money into Ms. Carr that she's going to be able to build a clothing store. And with that clothing store, she's going to be able to employ individuals. You know, the same as what we're doing, Will. You know, we're setting up that infrastructure, but this is the example that I'm hoping that we can carry to the communities, not trying to take anything away from anybody, but basically saying that we have spent all of our lives contributing to an organization that have put guns in our kids, guns and drugs in our kids' hand. Because these kids can't get no place. I mean, they got to come across the water. You know, somehow they're getting here, and they're getting to our community. And we are dying as a result of it. When you have 84 people shot in Chicago in one weekend, I mean, 84, 20 dead, that's something to really think about. 84 black people injured, 20 dead, and if it's 20 dead, that means that 40 is incarcerated. So we lost 150, 200 black people right there, just in that incident. So if we start concentrating on how to take our resources and use those resources, and a lot of our brothers and sisters is going to be have to be trained on how to do good business with each other, because I get a lot of complaints. Well, you know, I don't mind patronizing the black companies, but I'm going to, they don't do this and they don't do that. When they become a part of the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, we will oversee them. We will make sure that they know that they must be far better and beyond, and we will have a rating system. So if they want that support, then they got to be doing good work. Every time I go, and Will, I showed you some things today. When I go into my portal, and if you look there and if you're ever there, every rating that I have says excellent. Excellent all across the board. I don't have anything, you know, so I built that reputation. I built that reputation by being where I have to be, being on time. And most of the time, I'm there before time. I pissed my client off because they say 9 o'clock. I get there at 8 o'clock, and I'm calling them at 8 o'clock. Well, we said 9 o'clock. Oh, I'm a little bit early. It's no problem, you know. So professionalism, and that's one of the things as we move forward, and we recognize that we cannot do anything without money. But when we get these concerts going and we start hitting these different cities and raising more money, it's going to give us the funds that we need to breed professional individuals. And when we send them out there for that challenge, they know that they are representing an organization that's representing other organizations that's representing them. And that's going to make their life easier, put money into their pockets, and get their sons and daughters off the street killing each other.
One of the things that you just mentioned about being showing up early to your appointments, this is something that I learned in the military. And that's why it's important and a positive step to have the veterans work with the kids. It's because the veterans had to learn a degree of discipline and have it instilled in them when they were joining the military. And so that's why this combination in which we're using should be and shall be so effective.
Yes, absolutely. Ms. Carr? Hello?
Yes.
What did you think about that concept?
Well, I think everything that we are doing and all that's being said today is a definite step in the right direction. I think it's good.
Cool.
But
yeah,
as you was talking, us as a black people do have to be better at what we're doing in offering first class products, services to the public, because I find that when I go out here, I love to patronize my black brothers and sisters, but I find a lot of times I do get subpar service from them.
Right.
As our air conditioning man, I was charged the full price to fix my air conditioner. The problem was not solved. He took my money and he left and told me to wait that it would cool down. So I had to go to a Sears contractor to get the problem fixed. He fixed
right.
it, no problem. And I run into that all the time when I'm getting my car service, services at my home, because I know there's a lot of brothers out there that know what they're doing and can do the job. But when it's when they figure out that they can get it not done and still get paid, I find a lot of times that they will do that.
Yeah,
and the rating system would be a wonderful thing, because if they're not backing up their work and giving good products and services, we should not be patronizing them.
Right, right. And we can have conferences, you know. I was fortunate enough to be able to attend a government contract compliance program. And one of the things that was being discussed is how the government monitors individuals that have government contracts to look at their practices, hiring practices. And, I mean, it is something good to know, but to utilize that as an example for what the National Coalition of Minority Businesses should be doing, see, in order to join this coalition, you just can't be a business to come off the street and say, I want to be a part of this coalition. In order to be a part of this coalition, you're going to have a oath of office, as you do when you go in the federal government or the state local government. You're going to have an oath of office. These are some things that you're going to have to provide by in order to be in this organization and to remain in the organization. And one of those things is going to be that you must go far beyond to make sure that your customer is satisfied and that that rating system will apply. But if you're not, and in other words, I don't know whether this is a Korean, a Japanese, or one of those. They have this type of system in their culture where they support their sisters and brothers, and as long as they are doing what they're supposed to do in that coalition, then they get all the support that they need. That means finances, that means stores, that means everything that they need in order to be a business owner. But if they are not holding up the honor of that race of people, then they're cut out. So in this coalition, we want to bring up businesses that have some love, understanding, and know that we as a race of people have been working for everybody else for so long in our lives, and we've gotten to the point where not only have they changed the program, but I mean, if you look at this housing crisis that we just had, that was manufactured by the banks. That wasn't by a coincidence. That was by design. So then all the middle class that had just made that sacrifice, and some of the individuals shouldn't have been there anyway, but all of the middle class that had made that sacrifice when this housing crisis came along, and they start foreclosing all these individual homes, well, then they dump that 60% or 30% of people that had just came out of poverty and was now able to be recognized as being middle class. Guess where they at? right back in poverty.
Yeah, if they're lucky. I mean, you know, and I only say that because there's a lot going on. You know, you have, from what I understand, some people in certain areas of the country who basically have the option, who are homeless, who have the option of either going to jail or some sort of camp, FEMA camp. Now,
mm-hmm.
I don't have firsthand knowledge of that, but you know, I have been reading some things that have been suggesting that, and I think South Carolina is something that I think was the state that I heard that they're doing that. And so, yeah, I do agree with you 100% that you have a situation where a lot of what transpired was basically manufactured. It was set up to happen the way it happened by way of, one, the fact that, you know, they understood when they were doing the no documentation loans that these people didn't, under any circumstances, have the credit that they needed. People were going in groups in California buying houses, and essentially they would refinance the house because housing prices were going up so rapidly. They'd refinance 6 months and pull cash out.
Right.
It was a free fall. Everybody thought they were rich. At least the ones that I was around in California that had houses thought they were rich, and you know, it was, you know, let's ride it as long as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Type of. And that's essentially what happened, is they rode it as long as they could, and then when the bottom fell out, you know, kids end up being in the street, and then you had the loan modification rush come in, where those people were getting as much money as they could get out of the homeowner, and then, of course, you had the swing that came behind that, which was to lock up all the people that was in the loan modification business.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, if they're lucky, they ended up back at the bottom in the sense of in poverty and not in prison or in some sort of FEMA camp, if they're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the saddest thing when I was on my way home the other day is to see a man pushing a cart with all his worthy belongings in that cart. But what's worse is to see his woman walking behind him.
Well, in California, you had people who were sleeping in the parks.
Mm-hmm.
And with husband and wife sleeping in the park, they might have a bicycle that they were carrying their worldly goods on. But you know, you got a husband and wife, you know, sleeping in a sleeping bag in the park.
Right.
You know, or maybe some people sleeping on the beach. Fortunately enough for them, in California, the weather is usually fairly good, so they can kind of sort of get away with that. But, you know, but people laying around in places like Florida or California, you know, you're gonna have that because of the fact that the weather's nice and people who are homeless are going to do whatever they can to get to areas where the weather is better as opposed to where weather's being worse. Yeah,
right,
all of it was a setup. It was by design.
Yep, yep. And as we move through this fundraising event, because as I said, I'm not looking to just change Richmond, Virginia. I'm looking to change the world. And we as black people, if we are able to come together under this one umbrella, we can make a difference in each and every community in the United States. It is time for us, as Marshall said, it is time for us to take charge of who we are and make sure that we are all right. And Ms. Carr, with that said, we're going to go back to another song that I think going to fit that category. Mr. Sam.
I was born by the river.
Oh, I shouldn't have told you that.
In a little chance. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
Danny Clark, that was great. Hey, a change has got to come. Want to send a shout out to our veterans, helping veterans, Mr. Henry Mack, also to Sean over there. We're brothers to brother, and Mrs. Tammy Hodu, that's going to be joining us on a different day. You're listening to Daniel Clark Network Radio. If you're interested in calling in, you can give us a call, 646-478-4995. On the line with me today, none other than Mrs. Henrietta Carr, Carr's Creative Fashion Design, and Mr. Wilbert Geis for the National Coalition of Minority Businesses. So what do you think about that song there, Ms. Carr?
I think you were going to call my name. It is appropriate. It fits where we are going, and have to keep in mind that the change is going to come, and we are going to eat this elephant one bite at a time.
Right.
It's not going to work for everybody, and everybody is not going to like it, but we are who we are, and we are for it.
When things get to flowing like they're going to be flowing, we're going to be loved by everybody. Trust me. What about that, Mr. Geis?
Well, you know, I think I agree with Ms. Carr. Everybody's not going to love us. Some people are going to hate us. And that's in and out of the community.
Right.
But I think the song was most appropriate because there's but one thing that we know is for sure in this world. Okay, and I'm not talking about death and taxes. I'm talking about change.
Right.
Change is going to occur. The only question is what type of change is going to occur, and how much you're going to have input on the change that's going to occur.
Mm-hmm.
But you keep living long enough, your skin's going to start to get wrinkled. Okay?
Right.
You keep living long enough, your hair's going to get gray. You keep living long enough, you're going to feel the pain of aging. Okay? So change is definitely going to happen. We are affecting the positive change in our community, and that's what's so special about this change that's coming, is that we have an input. We're not just waiting for something to happen. It's already been happening to us without us affecting it. Now we are going to take put forth the effort to affect some of the change that's taking place.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is, yeah. As I look back and just think about it, and I was like, man, where and how did we get here? I mean, that's really the how do a young brother, 14, 15, 16 to 21, 32, 33 years of age, how do they lose so much love for one another that they cost of a life is less than a pair of tennis shoes?
Well. Now, in all fairness, in my view, we understand what you just said, but what you have to understand is that we started at a place that was even far worse, if you will. When you're dealing with the slave mentality of what was imposed upon the minds of the parents, or the great-grandparents, or the great-great-great-grandparents. And so what you have is a situation is where there wasn't a foundation. It's like attempting to stand on warm air. Okay? And so when there wasn't that foundation that was present, the question is, how do I be a good parent? I don't know what it means to be a good parent. We've been operating with a single parent, if you're lucky, household, based off of the numbers of incarcerations that have taken place coming out of the slavery.
Now, let me interrupt you for a second. Do you think that some of this, well, we know that some is a contribution to a lot of the messages that our young kids is getting now over the air and, you know, on radio and things of that nature, but do you think that the generation of females that is much younger, that is now raising our black brothers and sisters, is a contribution to that?
Well, again, there's no one's been working with a manual. It says here's the way it needs to be done. So when you say raise our black brothers and sisters, children, black brothers and sisters as youth, what you have to understand is that oftentimes because this young female or male is young and they want to have a life even though they have children, they may very well be absentee parents where they're out on a date or they're with their boyfriend or they're with their girlfriend, while the child is in a situation where the television set is what's watching them and discipline and giving guidance and direction. Or the people out there on the street are the ones that they're getting their guidance and direction from. And so we just have to say that it's broken. Now, in Africa, there's a statement that it takes a village. This is the concept that we're moving from, is it takes a village. It's going to take the village of fundraising. It's going to take the village of grabbing these young men and women at an early enough age and helping them understand some basic and basic fundamental principles about being able to provide a living for themselves and a life for themselves, because they're not getting it. They didn't get it, and they're not going to get it until the village comes in and participates in the rescue process.
And I agree. I think most of our young ladies now that are having babies, a lot of them have not gotten a high school education. No job, no wisdom. you can only get wisdom from the older females. And as a young 14, 15, 13-year-old, you do not have that wisdom. And our young girls do not like to listen to the older women that have the wisdom. So they are not able to impart to their children wisdom. So, yeah, the system is broken. And until the children are raised and wisdom is imparted to them and they are able to make good decisions, they're not making good decisions. And until they can make good decisions on parenting, jobs, because most of our young girls that don't have that high school education do not know how to even sit for an interview. They do not know how to dress for an interview. So until they can allow someone to give them that wisdom, the system will stay broken. And that's where we come in, for the young men, the young women, and they seem to be so angry about everything. So until they can learn and have the wisdom to go out there and present themselves and be smart enough to accomplish or to grab for what they want without a gun or a knife, but with sheer brain power, they're going to stay broken.
Yeah, and I want to say to each and every one of our young brothers and sisters out there that it is okay to be educated, but it's crazy to be indoctrinated. And a lot of what you are listening to on the radio, I mean, with the disrespect of the woman, even the disrespect of the black man, for some reason the competition started to be competition between each other, where there is no competition. I mean, if that energy was being focused toward what the real issue is in the community, then a lot of the things that these guys is facing would change their mentality, because they feel that guns is now a means of solving the issue. But you don't get to come back to talk about that issue.
Yeah, but when you're incapable of articulating what it is that you feel or what it is that you want, then the only thing that you can do is try to do something by force. The most intelligent people will theoretically say that, they send other people off to war to fight. When we are in a situation where we can't defend ourselves verbally and intellectually, it's time for me to stick my fist in your face or my gun in your head or whatever, because that's the only way that I can get my point across. Because I can't compete with you intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take you to court and sue you. You did me wrong, but I can't take you to court. I can't take the judgment. I just had my phone company steal $7 from me, and I was going to call them and tell them I wanted my $7 back, but it was going to cost me $5.
Okay, my brother.
Now, I was upset.
Now, don't forget the aggravation. That's worth more than $2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said I could have negotiated the idea, but I said, okay, look, I'm not going to be with these people very much longer anyway.
Right, right. Right, right. I
okay.
see. Yeah, it is amazing. Well, I just hope, I just know that we're moving in the right direction and this thing is going to become, I want you to think, I'm looking at the calendar right now. Let me look here. I want everybody to start July, August, September. Labor Day is when?
September? I have not a clue of what day is September.
I'm looking at October the 4th.
That's about right.
I'm looking at October the 4th to do this first fundraiser in terms of a dance. And then from that first one, we're going to do one every 2 months for the rest of our lives till we raise enough money to move out of Richmond into North Carolina, Atlanta, New Orleans, Dayton, and then we'll come out to D.C. D.C. is going to be the grand finale. So, Will, we will see you October the 4th of next year.
Or sooner.
And that's, huh? Well, yeah, or sooner. But that is the focus, because we want to take this to some places and then we want to bring it back to the nation capital. But when we bring it back, we want to have some sisters and brothers there that have gone through this course and have been successful by being a member and a part of the National Coalition of Minority Businesses. And it is doing well with the support mechanism that we're going to put in place to support each other. And this is not just, you know, this about putting together a foundation for all of us. I mean, we talk about veterans, we talk about the incarcerated, the ex-offenders, we talk about the youth. We as a race of people now need to recognize and understand what we're being faced with. And as the time continues to move forward, the destruction that's being created and caused in our community, and unless we get back into the community, unless we start providing fundings, training, get our brothers educated and off the street killing each other, the drugs out of our community, the homelessness, pay attention to our elderlies. So we got a lot of elderlies that is, you know, just in a terrible condition and situation as a result, you know, can't get food, lights being cut off, Social Security not working, ain't got Medicaid. I mean, this is all throughout our community. And with the money that we contribute to this country on a daily basis, I don't understand why.
Well, I can vouch the fact that you have elderly sick people now having their electricity cut off when their bill gets behind to a third degree. This is the part of the deregulation that's taking place throughout the country of the utilities. These people are being cut off no matter how sick they are. And
yeah.
Having to find another way to heat their houses or whatever the case may be in terms of cooking food if it's electric.
Right, right, right. Look, guys, we have 4 minutes here, so we're going to get ready to close this set out. Ms. Carr, I'll let you summarize for 1 minute, then we'll get to Mr. Geis, and I'll close it out.
Well, I think we've made a lot of headway today. We have recognized the problem. We are moving forward to address the issue, and that's all I have to say.
Okay, Mr. Geis, you got 1 minute.
In this marathon race that we're in right now, it's been a long road to get to where we are today, but beginning and continuing to move forward with this effort is what breeds the success. So we are setting the example for those who will follow us, the youth and the veterans, that you just got to keep throwing that jab until you get what you need to get.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And look, I can't, Ms. Carr, you're military. Mr. Geis, you're military. Look, I ain't got no problem
in
being in that.
Here.
Huh?
Ms. Carr is not military.
You're not military?
No, sir.
Oh, I thought you was a veteran.
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, yeah. You're a veteran in our book, right, Will?
Yep.
Absolutely. Hey, like I tell Mr. Jones, hey, you're a veteran. You fought that war, too. You was just on another area, you know. So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Daniel Clark Network Radio, the Entertainer's Playground. On the line with me, Ms. Henrietta Carr from Carr Creation Fashion Design, also the director for the fashion store, and Mr. Wilbur Geis, the National Coalition of Minority Businesses Director, and also my partner now as we move forward in setting up Carolina Solution Group, Inc., taking it to another level. Also, I want to remind everybody that you can go to www.DanielClarkNetworkRadio.net. There, even though it is under construction, you will see a format that gives you a brief idea of where we're going with this. We're going to have Mr. Isaac Hayes, ladies and gentlemen, just to take us out. Guys, I appreciate you. And we'll look forward to doing this next week. Good night.